okay? He's been with us right from the very beginning, or very close to the beginning. And God has used him mightily over many years here in this house. And I know that's going to continue. In fact, how many are ready for some good news? Okay, there's bad news and there's good news. Okay? I always believe in giving the bad news first. Okay? Why? Because then you end with the good news. You know, the last thing you hear is the bad news is that this is our only night with JD this week. Okay? The good news is he'll be back next Wednesday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God is good. But I want to describe something that happened last time JD was here at about this time last year, a little bit over a year ago. And I've never really shared this completely as I'm about to now. I came to the meeting a little over a year ago, and my back was in terrible shape. In fact, I had just recently, days before, gone to my doctor and asked for prescription muscle relaxers, which I had never taken before in my life. It was that bad. And, so I had filled the prescription, brought them home, had not taken any yet, and came to the meeting, and it was so bad that I was thinking, Lord, how in the world am I going to get through this service? I actually prayed before the service, Lord, help me to even just get through this service. That's how bad it was. And as we worshiped and praised and God was moving, then Brother JD began ministering after ministering in the Word, as he will tonight. He began ministering to people. He was praying for somebody. I don't remember who it was. But as he was praying for that person, it was like water just ran through the left side of my back. And I was just, that pain was totally gone. And here I am a year later. I have not taken a single one of those pills. Not had to take them at all. And so I just praise God. Miracles happen. Miracles happen. We are in an atmosphere of miracles. Expect a miracle tonight. Hallelujah. And maybe that's the best way that I could introduce JD. God works miracles through this brother. Let's receive and welcome him back to Grace Covenant tonight in Jesus' name.
Well, bless the Lord. If you see me tugging at my jeans, please know I have lost weight. And I have a problem that keeps sliding down. So if I turn this way, just know I'm tightening my belt up because they just keep doing that. I am glad to be back with you, praise God. I love this church. I love you. We come here when we can. I know those of you know that Janice, our daughter, has made her abode here. And amen. Hallelujah. God is in the house. I mean, he really is in the house. I know you know that, but he's here right now. And we just, in fact, I want you to stand to your feet if you don't mind. Let's lift our hands a moment. And let's worship the one that is due all worship and praise. Would you adore the King of Glory? Would you just give great praise to Jesus Christ? Would you thank him for his presence? Hallelujah. Would you thank him for the Holy Spirit being here tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord spoke to me over there, and most of you know I'm not the most conventional minister, but God spoke to me, and tonight there's a couple things I need to speak to you about. One is, it's going to start now, but it will definitely happen when we pray. I really feel some joints will be healed tonight, particularly from the waist down. But that's not all, but mainly in that area. And the second thing was, and I don't know if somebody's here called Beth or Bethany, or you have a Beth in your name, or you have a friend that's Beth. But all the way here, God kept speaking to me and said, I want to touch Beth. I want to touch Beth. So whenever it's time for prayer, it could be right in the middle of my message. But I'll let you know. But if your name is Beth or Bethany, or you have Beth in your name, and I know my daughter does because her middle name is Elizabeth, God is speaking to me about whoever you are. And tonight, especially Beth, is your night. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated for a moment or two. Hallelujah. Pastor Jim, thank you again for the opportunity to come. And I asked him how long the services were. He said, you guys get out around 1 or 2 in the morning. So that's fine with me. Oh, that's an early night. Amen. Amen. I rejoice that his back got healed. Isn't God cool? Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to let you know, about 11 years ago, something like this, maybe 12 now, my wife and I met on television. I don't know if you know that or not. She used to sing with the group, and I used to have our own ministry. And that's where we met. Well, God told us to get off the air, and we did. And so probably, I don't know, 11 or 12 years ago, God spoke to me and said, I'm going to put you back on TV. So for all those years, I've been trying to figure out how we were going to do this. Because I don't know if you know anything about television, but it's very, very expensive. The cameras are expensive. The airtime is expensive. Everything's expensive. But it reaches a mass of people. So for all those years, I've been trying to figure out how to do this thing. And I don't know if you're like me, but it seems like just when you get the money together, something happens. And it just takes it. So, you know, that's what was happening. So about 9 years ago or something, God said, I'm going to have you preach to the world. Again, I'm thinking television. I'm up in New York preaching, and they have cameras there. And I had, you know, I'm used to that. And about the second night, I went over to the producer and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, where's this being broadcast to? And he said, well, it's local. He said, but we're also going to the world. And I said, say what? He said, we are broadcasting to the world. He said, when you're preaching in these services, you're going across the world. And I thought, only God could do that. Amen. God could do. Well, about 5 years ago, the Lord said, I want you to consider radio. And so, and by the way, our TV opportunities are getting more and more and more frequent to be a guest on some programs and a host on other programs. One place we do has about 3 million plus viewers. So that's 6 million ears that can hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And God just continues to expand that and open that. Then he said about radio. I was up again in the New York area last year. And this gentleman came forth. He received his healing from the Lord. He called me in October of last year. And he said, the Lord has spoken to me. And I'm starting a worldwide radio station, and I want to know if you want to be on it or not. So he's told me that when they first start out, there'll be opportunity for 30 nations to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then more beyond that. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you just can't outdo God. You just can't outdo God, praise the Lord. So I covet your prayers. I really do. The radio thing has had a few hiccups here and there, and they're trying to get it on the air, and it should be on the air sometime this year. And when it is, you can get it on your iPhone. It's a lot of opportunities to hear the gospel, but the main thing is it'll go to the world. And you have pastors that go to the world. Many of you in the congregation go to the world. I mean, isn't God cool? God's a great God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you're taking the gospel all over the world. I know you support missionaries that go for the kingdom's sake, and I just give God praise. And God gave me also a word for grace, and I'll give it to you in a little bit. But I want you to take your scriptures, and I want you to turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, cut on your app or bring it up on your computer or your whatever you have. Open your pages if you have that, and let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hallelujah. Now, why do I do this? I know a lot of ministers don't make people stand, and that's fine. But I prefer to do it because it's to honor his word. And back in the day when they rediscovered the word of God, they stood for hours reading the scriptures. And they were weeping and crying because of that. They had rediscovered the scriptures. Well, we have the word, hallelujah. And we're blessed to have it. Amen. If you, I meet a lot of people who are dissatisfied with America and the U.S. But if you ever have to go to another country and then come back, you'd be so glad you're here. And we have spam, brother. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Hallelujah. Through 19. And I'm going to just read some of this. This is what the Lord says. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is what the Lord is saying. That he who made a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, in verse 18, he says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. In verse 19, God said through the prophet, see, I'm doing a new thing. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, something new. And God asked the question, don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and in streams in the wasteland. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? A New Year's resolution really is nothing more than abused realities. We say we're going to do it, and we never fulfill it. But in Isaiah, God is going to show us something tonight, that he is the God of a second chance. He is the God of another opportunity. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're going to do tonight. I'm excited. I feel your presence. Every time I come to Grace, I feel the presence of God, and I'm so grateful for this. Lord, I thank you for those who are here, those who are coming, bring them safely to the house of the Lord. And Father, we know that all things are possible to those who believe. God, I pray that everyone here will know there's no need too great for our God to handle, and there's no need too small for our God's attention. Lord, we love you and glorify you. And God, we ask you to be with Billy Graham's family. We lost a general, but be with his family, God. And God, I just thank you. I'm excited at what you're up to tonight. All things are possible. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Hey, turn to one or two close to you and just shake their hand or hug their neck and tell them you're so glad to see him in God's house. Hallelujah. In 2017 into 18, most of people make resolutions and they decide things will be different in the new year. We're going to quit smoking. We're going to lose weight. We're going to go to church more often. We're going to get closer to God. We're going to pray more. And instead of a new beginning, oftentimes we forget and we fall in the same old rut. We don't always understand. I heard something I thought was cute to me. This pastor was wanting to make a sermon illustration about living a clean, pure life with God. So he took four jars and he took four worms, fishing worms. And in one jar he had clean dirt. He put a worm in there. In another jar, he had some whiskey. He put a worm in there. In another jar, he had somebody blow some smoke, tobacco smoke in there, and he put a worm in there. In another jar, he took one of those big Hershey squeezable things with chocolate and filled it up and put a worm in there. So as they were looking, as the congregation was looking at the bottles, the worm died in the chocolate, the worm died in the smoke, the worm died in the whiskey, and the worm in the dirt was thriving. And so the pastor had the congregation look at him. He said, now what do you get from this illustration? And this little boy raised his hand. He said, yes, what do you get from that illustration? He said, well, if I smoke, if I drink, and if I eat a lot of chocolate, I won't have worms. I don't think he got it. Even though we forget about the resolutions and nothing really changes in our life, God's not that way. He's the God of new things. He's the God of new things, the God of another chance, the God of a second chance. I don't know about you, but I am so happy God gave me a second chance and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance. But he gave me another opportunity, praise God. He's not like people that we forget and sometimes we don't give a second chance. The Bible says that God says, remember not the former things. He had the prophet say this to the people in verse 18. Remember not the former, neither consider the things of old. The word remember means to mark or recount or record or to think upon. He was saying, don't think about the old things. Don't stand and just keep, hoping about the old things. Years ago when I was in a revival, this elderly lady came up to me and she said, son, I just would love to see those days of old revivals. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I was in a meeting and she said, this man jumped up under the power of the Holy Spirit and ran over and grabbed a big potbelly stove that was full of fire and ran around the inside of the facility and came and set it back down. She said, now that's power. I have yet to see power like that again. And I looked at her. I said, the Lord says, quit dwelling on the former things. I said, he's a now God. He's a God that does things now and today. I said, he's done great and mighty miracles all around the world, and he's still doing what he's always done. He has never changed. God reminded Israel of the fact that he had made a way, a highway through the sea. But as mighty and as awesome as those miracles were, he tells the prophet to tell the people, forget about it. And when I read this and God began to build this sermon in me, I began to think, what? Because throughout, and Pastor Jim knows this, and you ministers and those who have studied the Word know this, that throughout Christendom and the history of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, when God did a great thing like parting the Red Sea, he told them to make a monument about it. It might be nothing more than a pile of rocks, but that's what, and when they saw that pile of rocks, they remember when they crossed the Jordan. They remember when they came through the Red Sea. They remember when they were fed manna. They remembered all these things, and there were always people who were in these tribes who would recall these things to all the kids, and then they'd hand them down through every generation because they didn't have paper back then like we have. They didn't have computers and all that. They just had to tell these things over and over and over to remind them of what God can do, of the miraculous that God has done. And yet now God says, forget about it. Forget about those former things, which sounds almost kind of strange. Forget about those things. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't afford to be wrapped up and bound up in the past. It will hinder you every time. It'll make you stifled if you stayed there. If somebody has offended you, maybe you have every right to be angry. But if you stay in that spot and never forgive and move on, you will be worse than the individual you're not forgiving. I was in a service one time where these people were seemed to lined up forever, and the pastor was beside me, and the pastor's wife was over here, and I was praying for people going down the line, and I got to, and people were being healed, and I got to this lady, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm not going to heal her. She has secret sin. So I covered my mic, and I leaned over to her, and I said, ma'am, I can't pray for you because you have secret sin. She looked at me, and she said, what? And I said, the Holy Spirit's saying you hate your husband. And she said, oh, no, 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 no. I love him. I love him. I love him. And I backed up and I bowed my head and I said, hey, God, we're in trouble here. I thought you said that she hated her husband. He said, tell her again. So I stepped up and I said, ma'am, I can't pray for you. God will not heal you because you have secret sin. You hate your husband. No, no, I love him. We've been married for 20-something years. We have a wonderful relationship. And I step back, and the pastor's looking at me, and his wife's looking at me, and the pastor leans over and says, they teach our marriage class. The Holy Spirit said, tell her again. So I went up and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I can't pray for you. I said, God will not heal you because you have secret sin. You hate your husband. And then she went, I do. I hate his guts. She just started going, telling me about all he was doing. I said, too much information. I don't want to know this stuff. I'm just a lonely pastor. I just want to pray for you. It's all I want to do. And she just spilled it all out. All the venom and all the hatred from 20 years in the past came out. The pastor was then really shocked. And the Lord said, tell her, she needs to forgive him. I said, ma'am, you have to forgive your husband. She said, I don't want to. I said, I know you have every right to be angry. I said, but you need to forgive him. I didn't say you had to agree with him. She said, I don't know how. So I led her through a prayer. Again, the mic was covered. And the second she said, I forgive, and said his name, she was instantly healed. I mean, boom, just happened just like that. God says, don't remember the former things. We were just up in the Connecticut, New York area. And when we were up there, some of you might remember, we went to a church for three services. I'd never been to the church, didn't even know who the pastor was. We started off, I was speaking at a youth conference, and we were speaking at a women's conference, and then we were ending at the church that Sunday morning. And revival broke out, and we stayed 8.5 months in this church. Nightly services, cold, snowy, everything. And it was just packed with people coming in. But I find myself telling the congregation where I was at speaking recently that even though that was a wonderful move, and even though there were thousands and thousands and thousands who came, and ministers came, flew in with their leadership from other nations and received prayer and then flew back out and took the anointing to their nation, I said, even though all that happened, God still says, forget the former things. You can't camp out in the past. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't camp out in the past. And God said, told the people to forget the past, because the thing that is about to happen, this new event in comparison, is to be so much greater than all the past combined. So much better that by comparison, the old is as if nothing at all. God was trying to get the people from memory to hope. To have a greater expectation. I don't know if you remember a couple years ago when I was here, God spoke to me in prayer for myself, but then he said to tell you too. He said, let your expectation be greater than your hope so. I didn't really fully understand what he meant until I got to this Isaiah, that God says, have an expectancy of what I'm able to do, will do, and going to do. He said, trust in me, have faith in me, believe in me. He said, but get past the old things. Because when you hope, and I looked up all these words in the Greek and Hebrew and all that stuff. When you just hope, all your is like wishing it would happen. But when you have expectancy, then you're eagerly. If I had a $100 bill and I told everybody in here, I'm going to give you a $100 bill after service, some of you would have expectancy. Because you would catch me before I'd leave. Say, where's my $100 bill? You wouldn't hope so. You come to me and say, you said so. I'm expecting it. How many of you have a job? How many of you hope you'll get paid, or you expect to get paid? And what happens if you don't get paid? You're pretty upset, eh? You'll be laying hands on your employers again and again. There is a difference to expecting and a difference to just wishing it happens. You see, your pastor, Jim, and Pastor Wade, had to move past the past into where you're at now, which you think is the present. But a day ago, it was the future. He's already planted in Pastor Jim and Pastor Medizi's heart about the future. And they're already looking beyond today. I guarantee it. They're already looking beyond tonight. They're already looking beyond tomorrow. They have expectancy. Pastor Wade, if he did not have what I'm talking about tonight and Pastor Jim, y'all would still be in that building over there. But they had expectancy. And God said, look past where you were at. I know many churches and pastors that are just stuck. For 50 years, they've been stuck in the same old thing. I had a pastor one time tell me, I'm glad we don't want any babies or any children in our church. And you know what? They don't have any. They have an old, dying church. That's what they have. And every time somebody gets, dies, they don't replace them. I told him, because I was pastor at the time, I said, I want to hear those babies. I want to hear people come in. I said, I want to hear the gang members come in. I want to hear everybody come in. I said, because that's what God is about. You see, you got to look past the past. Jesus hung on that cross, but he's not still on that cross, praise God. He rose from the dead for me and for you, praise God. And he said, greater things, hey, I did great things, but greater things than I did, you shall do. Amen. Hallelujah. God said, get past the past. For many, it's time to go past the past and grasp hope, hold of the hope before you. Hope is, if you're taking notes, hope is a product of God's promise to us. What he said will come to pass. We sang a song about that. Hope is a product of God's presence with us. You know, if you're saved tonight, everywhere you go, God is. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Man, he spoke and it was. That's a good friend to have. Good amigo to hang out with. Praise God. I mean, he said and it happened. Jesus strode across the water. Jesus took a few loaves of bread and fishes and broke them, and they multiplied and multiplied and multiplied till he fed thousands. And then they had enough to fill up 12 baskets full. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to get past the past. Hope is a product of God's power, which works in us. He has given us the Holy Spirit to reside within us. The power, the anointing. Hallelujah. In Philippians 3:13, it says, forget those things that are behind and reach forward to those things which are before us. The past can be destructive or constructive. I used to counsel when I pastored many, many, many people. And something I found out, the past always affects the present and the future. If you've been married before, oftentimes I used to counsel a lot of people who've been married before. And oftentimes I'd find that if their current spouse did something that reminded them of the former spouse, it almost like freezes them. You know, I mean, they begin to think, oh, trouble's coming. And that new person you're with may be nothing like the person that you were with before. But see, you got to move past the past. Hallelujah. God says, and I love this, behold, I will do a new thing. That word new in the Hebrew means to create, to construct. Now, this part I'm not crazy about, but we have to take it too. It means to squeeze. You ever been squeezed by God? That's not a happy place. A place where the heat's turned up and you're praying, it's like your prayers are hitting the roof and coming back down. Where everything seems to be falling apart and going wrong. In the Greek, it means to refine. It means God's creative activity. That God, when he says, behold, I'll do a new thing, he's saying, I'm going to create maybe. Whew. I'm going to, praise God, I'm going to construct. I'm going to create. Those of you in here who are in the construction business, you know what that's like. Pull a nail out. take down an old rotten board, maybe saw something out that's wrong. I mean, it's kind of the same way with us when God has to do some construction in our lives, maybe clean up our lips or our mouth. Let me tell you something that happened. My brother, his little son learned some curse words. And my brother kept telling him, he said, "Now, those are dirty words. You shouldn't do it. And the next time you do it, you're going to wash your mouth out with soap." Well, my brother went to the gag store and got some of the soap that when you put water in, it turns black. So he made his son put the soap in his mouth. And when it mixed with the saliva, black started coming out. And he said, "Dad, they are dirty. They are dirty." God says, "I'm going to do a new thing." Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's going to do a new thing." Isaac's faith gave him vision to see what only real faith can see. Praise God. As God made the way through the Red Sea, and he says, "I'm going to make a way through the wilderness for you." What kind of wilderness are you going through in your life? What are you dealing with? Something that seems to maybe be, you know, wilderness is covered with, you hear the animals out there growling and you maybe can't see like you can across the field. Maybe you see thorns and thistles out there. What kind of wilderness are you in tonight? God says, "I'm going to make a way through the wilderness for you," praise God. And in verse 19, he says, "Now it's springing forth. Do you not know it?" I mean, listen to what he says. This is what I'm going to do. And now he says, "Don't you see? Can't you understand?" That's the problem with many believers today. We don't see. We don't see with eyes of faith. But faith is going and not knowing. Faith is believing and yet you have not seen. Faith is extending out and saying, "I believe because God said so." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about Grace Covenant, but I know this. We built a church. And when we bought our property, we had no money to buy it with, and yet we went forward because God said, "Go forward." We started building the facility. We had no money, but God said, "Start." And what happened was we built our first building. People stopped on the road. Baptist brethren, Methodist, Presbyterian, they stopped on the road. Never met them. They never met us. They didn't know who we were. I didn't know who they were. But they brought their hammers and their saws and everything and said, "We want to help you build the church." In 1,000 years, I never would have saw that coming because all I saw as a minister is an empty bag full of no money, but bills due. And God's taught me to look beyond that, to look straight past that. And that's why when I pray for people, I expect them to receive right then. I expect them to be healed or delivered. If it doesn't happen right then, well, then that's between God and them. Maybe there's an issue. Maybe there's secret sin or other things. But you know what? Since I began to learn what to do with God, when he says, "I'm going to do something else, I'm going to create, I'm going to construct, I'm going to do big things and mighty things," and all he asked me to do is just believe. But it's harder than you think. Amen? It's hard to believe. It's hard. Sister Julian talking today, I love that. People were mean. First thing she said, they're mean. Who would ever dream the Holy Spirit would have showed up and convicted that lady's heart? Who would have dreamed a new name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Hallelujah. 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 Don't raise your hand, but how many of you tonight are in a wilderness, in a situation? Might be a lot of different way things, you know. Not everybody has the same wilderness, but a wilderness is wilderness. A desert's a desert. A dry place is a dry place. It doesn't matter. Do you have faith to see? Do you have sight or vision? You've heard me say this a lot, but I love to say it. They asked Helen Keller, what was the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world? She said to have sight but no vision. To see beyond, church. See, vision stretches reality. but to see beyond. When years ago, myself and other people I know had prophesied to Pastor Jim and Pastor Wade that growth was coming, growth was coming, growth was coming. I kept saying it over and over and over and over and over. And I have all ideas that you'll continue to grow and you'll probably have to either kick these walls out or something, because God is going to continue to bless Grace Covenant. And because he's blessing Grace, he's blessing you. Because you believe and you're here. Hallelujah. But let me ask you, do you have eyes to see? We pastored our first church. We had not stained glass windows, but we had like floor to ceiling glass. And we built back from the road so we could put the second phase out there in the front. And on Sundays, I would ask the people, visitors too, what do you see? First couple Sundays I said it, they said, we see grass. We see cars going by. I said, no, that's not what I see. I started telling them the vision. And before you knew it, I would say, what do you guys see? We see a new building. We see this. We see that. And before long, it became a reality. Again and again, we did that. My wife, freehand off the prints, what the building would look like, even with landscaping on there. I mean, it was beautiful. And we'd put it at the back door. So every time somebody, I would always point it out. Every time people would come by, they'd see that thing. You know why? Because the Bible says, make the vision, put it down, make it plain. So you can see it. And it built vision and faith in people. And we did that again and again and again. You see, listen, when you are in a wilderness experience, when the ocean of life, the sea of life that you're on is rough and just, you know, up and down and up and down, you know what Jesus does? He comes and he says, peace, be still. See, Jesus will calm it. And God comes along and parts it. And we just cross it. Stroll right on through. Church, can you imagine how it must have been when they went through those walls in the Red Sea of water? The fish looking at them on both sides. And they just walking right on through. Several million people plus animals plus the wagons and everything else. You see, Jesus can calm the situation in your life. And God can make a way through. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. God is a good God and a second chance God. He can give another opportunity. Maybe you blew it last year. Maybe you blew it this year. Maybe you really messed up. Last year could have been a tearing down, a destruction time. But God is a rebuilding God, and he'll make it better than it was before. Do you need a second chance? Do you need another opportunity? Do you need another chance to say, I messed up, God, I'm sorry. But this time is the real deal for me. Maybe you have. I met many people who have gotten saved and whatever happened, things happen, they fall back. You know? And they come back to the services we're in and they renew their commitment, and they seem to be different. I was at a church one time, they have 800, they have two Sunday morning services, they have 800 in each service. And in the first service, about 250 or 300 got saved. And probably half of those people came up to me and said, you know, I thought I was saved before, but this time it just seems real. They got a second chance, another opportunity. I don't know what they were going through at the time, but you know, we all go through stuff. No person's an island. We all go through stuff. Jonah blew his first chance. God sent him to Nineveh. Now, if you don't know anything about Nineveh, Nineveh was a bad place. And Jonah and all those Israelis, they hated Nineveh. Nineveh would come in and steal the women and children and sell them for slaves. Steal their money and stuff. And then the men normally, they would skin them alive. And then put their bodies and put the skulls up so everybody can see and fear Nineveh. And they hated Nineveh. God says, being God, Jonah, I want you to go to preach repentance in Nineveh. So Jonah says, I'm going to jump on a ship. God will never know. So he goes and gets on a ship. A storm comes up, going to swamp this ship. And what does Jonah do? Cast me over the boat. You know why he wanted to do that? It wasn't because he was looking out for those people. He was hoping to commit suicide so he wouldn't have to deal with it. He still wanted a way out. And he couldn't even do that right. Because you know what happened. A big fish came along and swallowed him. Is Marshall, how'd you like to catch a fish like that, brother? Amen, next week. He's got faith. But God gave Jonah, who messed up everything all along the trek, another chance. He got a ride on a whale to Nineveh, and he got spit up, vomit, if you don't know what that means, on the shore. And everybody was looking at him, but you know why they were looking at him, right? He was in a whale's belly, which is full of acid and stuff, which is like your stomach is. Can you imagine for a Jewish man coming out of a whale's mouth that is pale from all the acid and no sunshine, seaweed hanging off of him and smelling like fish. And he started preaching, and those people got saved. He got it right. Peter said, Jesus, let everybody deny you. I'll stick with you, me and you, me and me go. We are close here. We're brothers. Jesus gets taken away. Peter's in the crowd. They said, hey, you're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. Yeah, I saw you. No, you didn't see me. Uh-uh. Yeah. And then three times he denied Jesus, and Jesus prophesied he would do it three times before the rooster crowed. And then can you imagine, I say this many times, but can you imagine the look Jesus gave him when he looked at him? He said, I told you so. Jesus being Jesus shows back up after he has died and resurrected, and they're fishing. They went back to what they were doing. Now, church, listen to me, please. They had been with him for about 3.5 years. They saw this man walk on water, multiply bread and fish. They saw him give a word to go look in a fish's mouth and get the money out of that and go pay your taxes. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And then after he was gone, they run right back to where they were comfortable fishing. Jesus shows up and he asked Peter three times. Peter denied him three times. He said three times, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? He gave him three chances to repent, basically. You see, we're talking about a God of a second chance. In some cases, a third chance, maybe a tenth chance. But he's a good God. He says, I will do a new thing. We find God doing and making a new thing and a way to get their exiles out of Palestine back in the day. They were in exile because they disobeyed God. And then God made a second chance. A way opened up for them to get out. Church, because we disobey, we might be in exile. If you ever wonder why your Christian life is just not like it used to be, maybe you should check your spiritual barometer. Maybe you should see where you're at with God. Are you disobeying? Now, I'm not a perfect individual. Don't say anything, Janet. But I'm telling you right now, I have argued with God. I'm sure none of you have. And I have had what I call pity parties with God. And I've pouted. And I've gotten mad and everything else in the world. And all of it does nothing. This gives me a chance to vent. That's all. But there's God giving me another chance. And saying, okay, JD. All those years I kept waiting for TV to happen. Complained, griped. because the money was so close, and it goes. And then he does it without one penny out of my pocket. Turn to your neighbor and say, that sounds like God to me. Isn't that right, Pastor Jim? Again and again and again. I don't understand his ways. I can't figure him out. So I've quit trying. I just serve him. God all day long has had something in my spirit, man, and I want to ask you today or tonight. If he never answered one more prayer of yours, if he never did anything for you ever again, would you still serve him and love him? Think about what I'm saying. Would you really still follow him? If you never did nothing else. But all the struggles and the hurts and the destructive stuff has passed. And another year is here. And for some of you, a new year. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. Maybe it's rebuilding their life. Maybe it's construction. Maybe it's creating where necessary. But in the Bible, we're going to find again and again where he did new things in old vessels. Abraham means laughter. And it was changed Abraham faith. Jacob means cheater. And his name was changed to Israel, peace. Peter means pebble or shaky. And he was changed to solid rock. Hallelujah. Peter was bald-headed, as far as we know, had a temper like that. And when Jesus left, converted back to the old ways. Jesus shows up, gave him another chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The disciples didn't like Paul. They didn't trust him. I really don't blame him, to be honest with you. Because he was a murderer. Threw him in jail. But Jesus, another chance. Hallelujah. I wonder how many of you tonight can say, I could stand another chance. I have blown it many times. Maybe I just did it recently, but I could stand another chance. I want you to stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you a simple question tonight. Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And can you say with all confidence that my relationship with Jesus is as close now as it's ever been in my life? I've never been closer to Christ. You see, you can say that, but let me tell you two things. You can't lie to God, and you certainly can't lie to your heart. Because both will always tell the truth about you. So let me ask you a question. Head bowed and eyes closed. If you can say with total confidence, I am saved. I'm born again. My relationship with Jesus is up to date. We're tight. I've never been closer to Christ than I am this moment. Would you raise your right or your left hand up to heaven? Praise God. By doing that, you're showing all the angels and all of God's creation where you stand with him. Now, would you just take a moment, lift your hands and just and give a clap offering to the Lord and praise him for saving your soul. Hallelujah. Put your hands down, please. You can, no one looking around. I always ask that, and somebody's always looking around, but no looking around. Some hands went up that should not have, and right now the Holy Spirit is telling you so. Some could not lift their hands. And maybe those of you who used to know Christ, but not the way you used to, maybe you need a second chance. Well, he is the God of a second chance, the God of another opportunity. And he's here tonight to accept you back home. You don't have to run anymore. Maybe you have made a mess of your life. He knows that. Maybe nobody else does, but he knows that. Maybe you're in that wilderness situation. Maybe you're in a dry spot. I don't know. But tonight, when I count to three, my friend, if you'd like to give your heart to Christ for the first time or renew your commitment to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your right or your left hand when I count to three. One, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, meaning everybody in this church tonight, including me, has missed the mark for our life, the bullseye, every time without Jesus. Two, Acts 4:12 said there's no other name by which you might be saved. My friend, I cannot save you. I can't. Pastor Jim, I honor this man and I praise God for him, but he can't save you. There's only one way, one door, one way to do it, and it's through Jesus Christ. When I count to three, if you say, I want to give my heart to Christ, I want to take that second opportunity and renew my commitment to my Jesus. When I count to three, you raise your right or your left hand. One, two, three. Just raise your hands. That's it. That's it. All over the church. That's it. Don't be embarrassed, because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be embarrassed about you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hands are up in this church. If you meant it, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you really meant it, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seats and come meet me right here, right now. Why? Because what Jesus did, he did publicly for you, and he was not ashamed of you. So would you come? Come on now, quickly. If you're in the middle of the aisle, people are moved. They'll be more than happy to move. Just come on. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on quickly. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. That's it. Come on down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There were some hands on this side. If you mean it, come on. In Jesus' name. If you are a young child and your parents want to come with you, that's fine too. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We're going to wait just a moment more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your second chance. Your second opportunity. Hallelujah. I want us all to pray this together, publicly and out loud. Let's everybody say this, and those here in the front say it as well. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Bible. I believe it's true. I may not understand it all, but I believe it's true. The Bible says that all have sinned, and that means me. I believe Jesus Christ died for me, and that he rose from the dead just for me. Say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me now of all my sins and all my iniquities. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now as my personal Savior and Lord. I'm willing to repent, to turn my life around with your help. Now, let's say this, because some might be doing this. I recommit my life to you right now, Christ. I get off the throne of my heart and let you, King Jesus, sit upon it. Now, can we all say this just a tad bit louder? According to the Word of God, I have believed in my heart and I have confessed with my mouth. So right now, I am saved. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Grab her. Hold up, guys. Praise God. Praise God, my friend. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hold up just a moment. I'm going to ask Pastor, if you will, just pray for him real quickly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. While Pastor is praying for them, hey, isn't this cool, God? Guys, listen. Three new names in the Lamb's Book of Life are checked out to be sure they're there. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands a moment, and I'm going to ask you to say, before I pray for you in a moment, I want you to do this. I want you to thank God for your future. Some of you are thinking, I don't have a bright future. Oh, au contraire, you don't know. God's got great plans for you. Great plans. Would you praise him just a moment for your future? Your exciting future. Praise God. And would you ask the Lord to open your eyes so you can see what he sees? that you build, that your faith will come alive in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 And would you right now, ladies and gentlemen, just ask the Lord to forgive you of your lack of faith, if you have any. We all need more faith. And just tell him you're sorry for the times you didn't believe that he could do what he says he could do. As pastor's praying for them, the Lord is speaking to me. Now, this, I'm sure this could be general to everybody, but there's some people in particular right now, you need a serious financial overhaul. You don't need just a miracle, you need an overhaul. And I break the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus. And I pray for financial overflow in your life. I pray that you will be blessed beyond blessing. I pray that, God, their debts will just fade away. I pray you'll give them wisdom on how to deal with their monies they do have. I pray, God, they'll begin to give to the church, in particular the tithing. I pray, God, they would honor your name in what they do and what they say. Hallelujah. Praise God. Forget the past, because it's past. Now it's time to step out into your future. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen, church. God is moving so powerfully in this place right now. Hallelujah. The waters are stirring right now. The waters of miracles, the waters of new things are stirring right now. And I really believe, as Brother JD has shared, that there are financial miracles, there are financial blessings, financial breakthrough being released in this house right now. Now is the time for us to sow by faith into that. I want to ask the men to put these baskets up here on the front, because we need to step out of the place that we have been, and we're stepping into a new day. Every bit of this offering will go towards JD's ministry, okay? And I want to ask you to pray. Just raise your hand with me right now, because once again, there is an atmosphere of miracles that is stirring here right now, and I don't want you to just give just to give. Okay, I want to ask you to take a moment and pray and just ask God, God, what should I sow, Lord, into souls? You heard Brother JD say, he's ministering now. There's a potential audience of 3 million people that will hear the gospel here in our own country. And so we need to sow into that. But miracles are being stirred right now. The waters are being stirred right now. Respond to the Lord. Respond to the Lord in faith. Respond to Him in Jesus' name. He's got a new day. He's got something new for your financial, for our financial lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I trust you to guide each one, oh Lord, to give. Lord, whether it's $1 or whatever it may we all obey what you tell us, O Lord, and everything that will need to happen will happen. We proclaim it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's step out of our places right now, and let's give in obedience in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, as you step out of your place and you obey whatever the Lord tells you to do, you're stepping into a place of miracles. You're stepping in. Not you, us. We're stepping into a place of miracles in Jesus' name. We're stepping into a new day. We're stepping into a new thing. We're stepping into a new portion. We're stepping into a new blessing. Hallelujah. Come on, bring your offering and raise your hand and say, I'm stepping into a new day. I'm stepping into a new day in my finances. I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God. I'm stepping into a new day. Come on, proclaim it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm stepping into a new portion of blessing. I'm stepping into a new place in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. How wonderful you are, God. How wonderful you are, Lord. In Jesus' name. To encounter your love, surround.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, here as in heaven.
Hallelujah. Stretch your hands towards these baskets. Father, I want to thank you for the sacrifice that was given, Lord. Lord, we lift these up to you because they're not given to me or our ministry, even though that's where it goes to that work, but they're releasing it to you. And Father, I thank you for giving it back, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing in the name of Jesus. You said it, and we can expect it. I'm not telling you what to do, but the Word tells us this is what we should expect. So, Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, if you're believing for your miracle back, go ahead and give him a clap offering by faith. If you're thanking for a miracle, give him praise right now in Jesus' mighty name. I already have somebody came up to me, and it was about Bethany. Praise God. So, if your name is still, if it's Bethany, something like that in that name, I need to pray for you particularly, and you need to let me know as we're praying. Hallelujah. This is the day of new beginnings. Grace Covenant, this is the day of new beginnings. I'm telling you, on the unction of the Holy Spirit, your past was tremendous, and it was tremendously fertile. But God said, prepare your hearts and prepare your minds and prepare your faith for what's coming down the road for Faith Covenant, saith the Lord. You will leap out. You will leap forward. You will leap into the goodness and grace of God Almighty. The Lord's hand is upon you, Grace Covenant. It's upon you in Jesus' name. The Lord is going to lead your pastors further down than they ever dreamed they could go. The pastors are being used by God in a great measure. But listen to me. This is not very theological, but this is Greek and this is Hebrew. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you, you have not seen nothing. You've heard that prophetic word from many ministers that come to your church, but God keeps telling me, prepare yourselves. The past is past. You had a great past, but now prepare your hearts, your minds, your faith for the future, because you're going to leap out into the future, and you're going to take many with you to salvation. This church is going to begin like never before to build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Your pastors are not ashamed nor afraid of the fivefold ministry, nor the nine gifts of the Spirit, nor the fruits of the Spirit, for their hearts are open to the leadership of the Lord and the Holy Spirit as He guides. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, this place will be like a watering hole. People will come here and receive life. People will come here and receive the quenching to their dry and thirsty soul. People will sit at the banquet table and they'll eat and eat and eat and get satisfied. And then this church will begin to make many, many more disciples. You will go out north, east, south, and the west, the Lord would say. You will go to nations where the skin is black, the skin is brown, the place is dry, the place is wet from the much rain. It's cold, it's hot. God will send people from Grace Covenant all around the world for His glory. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the time is now. The time is at hand. Some of you have been praying for 20, 30, 40, 40 years and waiting for the day, and the day, the Lord would say, is upon you now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to be stepping in, not the pastors, they're going to lead, but you, the congregation, will be stepping into a new day. There'll be so many times of refreshing that will rain from heaven in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord just keeps telling me they will get their needs met. Hallelujah. 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 Wow. If your eyes were open, you would see the angelic host around this place. You'd see the Holy Spirit's presence running to and fro and back and forth. Hallelujah. I didn't come to say this tonight. Honestly, it wasn't even in my heart. It's just God just began. He said, I have a word for the church. Wow. Wow. You're going to build the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one other thing the Lord keeps telling me is He's building a network of churches with like hearts throughout this area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil is so worried that Grace Covenant will become what God ordained. Well, you know what? You're already starting to do that. You've been doing that for years now, but I just don't know how to say this other. A God explosion is coming. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Jim said it to me. He said it to you. The Holy Spirit is here. I got to tell you this, then we're going to pray. When I was over there at my seat, when Pastor Jim said, come on, and I got ready to cross over here, I saw myself in the Spirit pulling my pants legs up because I didn't want to get my pants legs wet. He said, what do you mean? From the river that's flowing through. Grace Covenant. Hallelujah. That was just symbolic. But I'm telling you, sometimes when you're in it so much, you don't realize you've still got it. But I'm telling you, there is a river flowing through this church. So, if you need prayer tonight, I'm just going to leave it at that. God may have a prophetic word of knowledge, whatever it might be. But if you really want to spring forth into the future, and know the past is past, I'm going to ask you just to leave your seat and come on up to the front so I can pray for you. You need something from God? We're going to take it to Him and believe for a miracle. Believe for great things. Hallelujah. But I know many of you are tired of the wilderness and you're tired of the old past. You're ready. God says, don't you see it? Don't you see it? See it by faith. Expect it. Those of you who've got joint problems, especially from the hips down, I really would love for you to come here right in the center if you can. If you got joint problems, but especially from the hips down, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. God also spoke to me about somebody, either you have an ingrown toenail or more than one, or your toe, especially it's like a big toe, but it's more than one, it's very crooked. And it shouldn't be that way. And you need to come on up. Hallelujah. But the ingrown toenails, hallelujah, they hurt you. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, would you say this with me? Say, Father, I'm ready for the future. Oh, say it a little bit louder one more time. I'm ready for the future. And would you say this? I'm ready for my future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll part your sea of troubles. Jesus will speak calm and cool and still to your issues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's Janice? I need Janice up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Jim said he got healed. We were praying for someone else and he received. I call that a ricochet prayer. But that happens a lot. You say, why? Because God's no respecter of people. If He loves Pastor Jim and heals him, He'll heal you. Most of you know I had quadruple bypass heart surgery years back. I only had 12% blood flow out of four arteries. Doctors say I was going to die. God had a different plan. I went to my heart doctor, which I have to go regularly, the other day. He told me, he said, your cholesterol is perfect. 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 Every time I go in there, they expect to find some big issue. But he said, man, come back in 6 months. I don't want to see you in 3 months anymore. Perfect. Hallelujah. Boy, he's here. I need to know the hips, the bones. Okay.